This is Digital Story Podcast number 881, February 7th, 2023. Today's theme is recording video to enhance your still photography. I'm Derek Story. Many stills photographers overlook the fantastic movie capture tools built into their cameras, primarily because they're not interested in making movies. But what if those ignored features could greatly enhance your photo presentations? Wouldn't that be useful? Find out how on today's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I can tell you why I don't make more movies than I already do. And it's because I hate video editing. I really do. It bores me to tears. And it's so funny because I could work on still photography, editing in Capture One or Photos or whatever I happen to be using, Lightroom. I could work on an image for half an hour and just absolutely love it. I spend half an hour video editing and I'm ready to just go running, screaming out of the room. I don't know why, it's just not my thing. I could never be a video editor for a living. I really couldn't. But I do like video and I do make movies. And when they're done, I really enjoy looking at them. It's sort of like what some people say about writing. And the phrase is, I love having written, right? I love having edited movies. But even though I don't make a ton of movies, I still really value the tools that I have both in my mirrorless cameras. I'm primarily using the OM-1 these days and the Fujifilm X100V, and also my iPhone 12 Pro Max. So those are the cameras that I have, and they all record very good video. They all record 4K video, which I'll get to a little bit later in the segment. And those tools, those video recording tools, can really help my stills photography. And you're probably wondering, well, what the heck are you talking about? Okay, well, let's... I won't keep you in suspense any longer. I think the best way to explain this is I'll tell you about a situation I was in this past weekend. So I was out scouting for our upcoming Point Reyes photography workshop. And by the way, I'm going to talk about this workshop a little bit more in an upcoming segment. It was just a fantastic day out in this area. I was in Tomales Bay and Inverness, Point Reyes itself. Just absolutely beautiful. Just me and the car and my camera and nature. And there was one moment when I was standing at the edge of a marsh on Tomales Bay, and it was very peaceful. It was serene and beautiful. But what was very interesting about it is that the sounds of the marsh, and there were geese a little bit in the distance, not too far away, and they were talking to each other. There were bullfrogs or toads. I don't know. I didn't get to see what they were. But they were doing their song. And there were other birds that you could hear. And I was just standing there and I was going, I could just stand here forever and just enjoy, just soak this all in. I took a few still photos, of course, and had some nice compositions. And I looked at the pictures on the back of my viewfinder and I go, I like these, but they don't even come close to what I'm experiencing right now. I mean, they're great, but I could show someone this picture and they would have a fraction of the emotion that I'm feeling right now. I was going, how can I get closer to this? And then I remembered this very thing that I'm going to be explaining here in a few minutes, which is creating a more immersive experience with my still photography, and it's very easy to do. So here's what I did. So in this case, I just pulled out my iPhone and I did two things. One is I shot some panoramas with the iPhone. And those are very important when we get into post, having those panoramas. So I shot some panoramas and, you know, waited till I kind of got exactly what I wanted. I had to shoot a couple of them. And then I went to video mode and I shot video, and I shot a couple minutes of video. And mainly what I was doing was I was just sort of panning the scene with the camera, slowly panning, just trying to keep the horizon straight, you know, all that stuff. And just bringing in everything that I could get, as much of that nature data that I could capture in my iPhone. That's what I was doing. So I brought that in as well. Here's how I made the experience come alive afterwards in post, which is I had those still pictures that I liked. I had a couple panoramas that I liked, and I had the movies. So what I like to do is I separate the audio from the video in the movie and create an audio soundtrack for a short slideshow. And this audio soundtrack replaces whatever canned music you may have, you know, all the applications that we use. In my case, it's Photos. You know, if you're on Windows, you have a different app. You know, everyone has sort of their go-to app for making slideshows. By the way, on the Mac, another great one is Photomagico by Boink Software. So at any rate, I separate the audio from the video. I put together my stills images, and then I use the audio that I separated from the movie as the soundtrack. And it just changes everything. It just changes everything. So now when I look at that little clip, right, then it comes so much closer to what I was experiencing when I was standing there. And just to sort of illustrate that point, I made a little 30-second slideshow using the exact things that I'm talking about right now. And there's a link to it in the show notes, so you can go over and check it out and experience it for yourself. I got a few tips to go with this so that you can get the most out of, you know, the tools that you have in your camera. And by the way, you know, speaking of cameras, I basically use, on this trip, I had the OM-1 and I had my iPhone, and I just use either one depending on what I want to do at the moment. The iPhone is really easy for capturing video, but I have more control over the video settings and the formats and even the audio with the OM-1. And the OM-1, like many cameras these days, has stereo mics. And so, you know, if you can take advantage of that and really get some pretty high quality audio, or if you really want to go crazy, you can plug an external mic into your camera and then use that. So you have a lot of options. Really, what I'm talking about are broad brush strokes here, but you know, you can take this in any direction that fits the tools that you have, right? And you know, and also how high quality you want to go. So all of that is just taken into account. All right, so what's my basic workflow for doing this? So I capture images with the OM-1, and I edit those in Capture One Pro, and just go ahead and do that. And then, you know, I rate them. And basically what I do on a shoot where I'm using multiple cameras, and I know I want to play around, you know, maybe with some, you know, audio video, is that I'll export the 3-star ones out of Capture One as high quality JPEGs, full size. And then I just import them into Photos. And then that way they're just in there alongside with the shots that I shot with my iPhone. And, you know, this is where you got to make sure that your timestamp on your camera is up to speed so that the photos that come in, you know, fall in their proper place next to the photos that you captured with the iPhone, because, you know, those timestamps are going to be correct because, well, it's a smartphone, right? And that's what it does. It always knows what time it is. I bring those in. So then I got them all just kind of hanging out there, in my case, in Photos. And again, you can use Lightroom. You can use whatever app you want for this. So then what I do is in Photos, I go to the Projects tab and I create a new project and I create a slideshow. Now, what I have available to me at this point are all the stills from both cameras and the panorama. And then I also have the movies that I captured with the iPhone. So they're all available to me to build a slideshow. And you can put video in a slideshow. But what I like to do before I actually get to building the slideshow is extract the audio from the video on, you know, wherever I captured those. And that's really easy to do. I just use QuickTime for that. And you just open up the movie in QuickTime. And under export, there's an export audio only, right? So, oh, you go, oh, that's easy. All right. So then, and it just comes out as an M4A file, you know, very easy. You can work with it in any application. And then I recommend, if you're going to do this sort of thing, and I think all photographers who do any sort of multimedia need to have some sort of audio editor. Just, it doesn't have to be really expensive. I mean, if we have built-in audio editors that come with our Windows and our Macs, and you can use those. One that I like them simple myself. So one that I use is by Rogue Amiga. It's called Fission, and it's for the Mac. And I like it because you just get a really nice big waveform. So it's really easy to trim it. And that's mainly what I'm doing, right? You're just kind of trimming out the ends. Or if you have a motorcycle go by in the middle of it, you want to be able to, you know, cut that out, crop that out. You can do fade ins and fade outs, which I really like. And then the other thing you can do is enhance the audio. So you can bring up the audio levels. One thing that I've noticed that when I capture audio with any of my cameras is that it isn't usually at the level that I want. I usually want it a bit louder than what the camera captures. So I can go ahead and increase the volume, the gain, using my simple audio editor. And I'm not really looking to do anything fancy. It's just mainly trimming, cropping, enhancing the audio a bit and doing fade ins and fade outs, and, you know, getting maybe the length of the audio fitting to whatever show that you're going to do. And so having a nice little audio editor to do that really is invaluable. And for instance, Fission is $35 for a perpetual license, and they're really good about not charging more until like a major update. And that's usually every couple of years. And then it's, you know, not even that full price. There's a terrific little audio editors for Windows. There's a ton of them, in fact. So just sort of find, you know, one that works for you, or you may have one on your computer already, but it's nice to cozy up to one and really get to know it, because being able to edit a little bit of audio, I just think it's so handy for so many projects that we work on these days. And, you know, we're much more in a multimedia age than we were a decade ago. And it's nice to have a few of these tools to do that with. I'll clean up the audio a little bit. In the Photos workflow, basically, if I want to substitute the canned music, I import the audio into my Apple Music app. And I just create a little library of audio files that I've collected, you know, sort of like, you know, taking pictures of a really nice sky and then hanging onto that in case you ever need to do a sky substitute. I sort of do the same thing with audio. I just collect these bits and make sure I label them so I can find them again and try to keep them all in, you know, one area, one album, so that I always have them available to me. And then in Photos, when I'm in Slideshow, then I can substitute the canned audio that they have, which is fine for the first 20 times you do a slideshow, but then after that, you really get sick of it. So I can get rid of that and then use my own audio for the slideshow. And wow, what a difference it makes. Now, you'll notice that I mentioned earlier about panoramas. Panoramas are fantastic to have for slideshows, because if you have a panorama and then you use the Ken Burns effect, with the panorama, it just goes, does this beautiful thing where it just rolls from one end to the other of the picture. And it's just great. So, you know, the image is full size, just like all the other shots that you have. But Ken Burns effect knows that's a panorama and it'll just, you know, slide right along with it. And it just creates these really beautiful pans. They're so easy to do. And the thing about it, before you put it in the slideshow, you edit this panorama to get it exactly the way that you want. Get the horizon nice and straight, you know, get the exposure and the color balance and all that stuff. Sharpen it up a bit if you need to. Do all that stuff. You're working with a still photo, but when you drop it into a slideshow with the Ken Burns effect, it becomes a lovely high resolution pan. And it's so fantastic. So you got to remember, if you're going to work on these sort of projects, to make sure you capture some panoramas along with the video and your stills, to really, so you have all these elements, all these ingredients, so that you can easily and quickly put the slideshow together. Now, you can literally do these slideshows in like a half an hour. They don't take long at all. If you did everything that I'm talking about and had all your ingredients ready to go, then mixing them together is a piece of cake, and it's a lot of fun. And that part I super enjoy. And it's so interesting to me that I love doing these kinds of multimedia presentations, you know, with stills and panos and audio I've recorded. And I don't like video editing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. They seem like they should be very similar, but to me, they're very different. They're very different. And I love, love, love one. And, you know, I don't love the other one. Okay, one last tip before we move on to the next topic. If you shoot 4K, and basically all of our cameras and our smartphones can shoot 4K now, for your video, when you're recording your audio, then keep in mind you can pull out individual frames of that 4K as stills to use in your slideshow. And I found this really useful when there's a gap in your show. You know, you think at the time you're shooting everything you need and all that sort of stuff, but there's always one or two things I forget to capture with the still camera. And so if I have a video that I was recording and it's in 4K, then chances are very good there's a frame in that video that will fill that gap that I didn't capture with a still. So then I can pull that 4K frame out, put it in my slideshow, and it works great. And remember, slideshows are like movies, right? And so even though the 4K isn't as pristine as that beautiful RAW file that you have and have edited with great care, as a gap image, honestly, I doubt that anyone would ever notice that there's a difference, right? Because it is a movie. So that's just another advantage to shooting 4K, is that then you have images available to you to help you round out your slideshow. That's how capturing video can really enhance your still photography presentations, because now suddenly you have all these extra dimensions to add to it. And I'll tell you, the difference between just looking at a still photo from the marsh, and then you'll see when you watch this little 30-second slideshow that I published, the difference between those two is huge. It's huge, and it's a lot of fun, and it's something that you can do with the tools that you have right now. I hope you give it a try. Okay, speaking of Point Reyes, I want to mention to you a couple things about that workshop that's coming up on May 16th through the 19th. And one is that we have two seats left. We're close to filling up. We have two seats left. The second is that we have nailed down our workshop headquarters. And I was there meeting with them on Saturday and going over the grounds. And oh boy, it is so lovely. First of all, this year I have the headquarters right in the middle of everything that we want to do. We're right on the bay. We're right on Tomales Bay. And you can literally walk out your room door and be shooting wildlife within 2 minutes. I mean, you're there. And the place that we're staying even has, it has a marsh area, and then it has the bay, you know, and, you know, we're right there on the marsh. And then it even has like one of these long little walkways that are up, you know, like on wood slats and everything. You can walk out on top of the marsh, do all of your photography there, and then walk all the way to the end and get to the bay. And then they also have this wonderful deck that you can just hang out on and just breathe it all in and watch everything. It's really gorgeous. Our workshop area itself, it feels like it was a lodge at one time. It has that same vibe, you know, with the big fireplace, cushy chairs and couches and stuff, a really nice work table that we can sit at, a coffee and tea service in one corner, and it overlooks Tomales Bay. So even while we're doing our laptop work, you know, we're in this wonderful environment where we're still immersed in nature, even as we're working on our photos. The rooms themselves are very affordable. I got us a good deal. So you can, if you shared a room with somebody, you can get it for as cheap as $80 a night. If you want a private room, I have them as low as $160 a night, and they're lovely, which is, if you think about room prices these days, and then you think about the location of where you're going to be, it is a great price. So I'm really excited about this. We have 2 seats left. If you want to do something really special this spring, this would be it. If you have to fly in, Oakland Airport, San Francisco Airport, and Sonoma County Airport are all about 1 hour and 15 minutes away. You can fly into any of those airports. If you fly into Sonoma County, you've got a fantastic drive to our workshop headquarters. If you fly into Oakland or San Francisco, you do have to get out of the city, but once you get out of the city, it's a beautiful drive. And so then you could extend your stay, and there's a ton of, three of the people that are already signed up are extending their stays, and I'm going to line them up with some great things to do and some great places to see even outside the workshop. This would be a great spring getaway. You're going to get a lot of pictures. You're going to recharge your batteries and just get you back in sync with nature and feeling good and enjoying the camaraderie of fellow photographers. So anyway, if you're interested in grabbing one of those last couple seats, all you have to do is click on workshops on the digital story. It's up in the nav bar, or go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops there. Everything will be there that you need to put your deposit down and get signed up for this thing. Go Wide, a look at 4 top ultra-wide primes for Micro Four Thirds. This is an article that just landed on DP Review. I have a link to it in the show notes. And how cool. I mean, they cover Micro Four Thirds quite a bit. You know, I'm pretty pleased with DP Review's coverage. But this one is great because they're really addressing a need for Micro Four Thirds photographers, especially landscape photographers, with getting that affordable, high-quality ultra-wide. Let me read you a little bit about what they say, and then we'll talk about the lenses themselves. One of the great things about the Micro Four Thirds system is that it's easy to find a good long lens, including the ones you used to use on your DSLR. Remember those? With its quarter-size sensor, the system gives us the reach of a 400mm lens when we've only mounted a 200. The downside, of course, comes when we want a wide-angle view, as that 2x crop factor means we need a 10mm lens to get the same view we would achieve with a 20mm on a full-frame camera. Fortunately, though, we now have a pretty decent array of extreme wide-angle options for the system, including quite a few zooms. For this article, I've restricted myself to prime lenses and have still put together a good little collection to compare. The idea is to both demonstrate what's available and to show what impact slight differences in focal length have on the angle of view of the lens. I've picked four lenses about the same focal length and within a tight price range, but which have a number of characteristics that lend each to a distinct identity. The lenses that go head-to-head are the Laowa 7.5mm f2 Micro Four Thirds at $499, the Mikey 8mm f2.8 at $399, the Panasonic Leica DG 9mm f1.7 a spherical at $498, and the Samyang 10mm f2.8 ED at $430. Okay, so those are four lenses. All right, a 7.5, an 8mm, a 9mm, and a 10mm. As is often the case now, those looking for ultra-wide options, especially at affordable price, should consider the many manual focus lenses on the market. Thus, only one lens in this comparison offers autofocus and comes from mainstream Micro Four Thirds manufacturer. I'll be looking at the physical characteristics of the lens, their coverage, how nice they are to use, as well as the quality of the images they produce. In all the following images taken with these lenses, and this is a cool thing about this article, he does a lot of images, and then he also does a comparison of the different aspects of the lenses. The aperture was set to f8 to help eliminate vignetting as much as possible. All samples were made with a Panasonic Lumix G9. We're including the angle of view in the specs so you can get a better idea of how much of the scene you'll see, something not always accurately reflected by the focal length in millimeters. All right. So then they go into the article and really do one of these nice DP review pieces where they just dig in on these four lenses. They talk about each lens individually, show pictures of each lens individually, pictures from them, and then give you this really nice chart where they rate the lenses in, looks like, five categories here. Distortion, vignetting, resolution wide open, resolution at f5.6, and resolution one stop from minimum. I'll give you just a little bit of the placing here. The best lens in the group, in terms of just high ratings in all these categories, was the Panasonic Lumix 9mm. But the other lenses did quite well. They did quite well, especially the Samyang, as well as the Mikey 8mm. So it's really worth looking at the article. But if you're thinking about your adventures coming up in spring and summer, and you're looking for a wider lens to complement, and you know, the thing is, on these super wides, you honestly don't need autofocus. I mean, I don't think so. I use manual focus, and it's hard to get a picture out of focus with these wide lenses. So I mean, you know, you turn the ring, what, a quarter of an inch each way, the focusing ring. So anyway, it's a great article if you're looking for wide angle lenses for your Micro Four Thirds system. And as I said, all of these are relatively affordable. I thought they did a great job with this. Hope you enjoy it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. First of all, I want to mention the Nimble Photographer newsletter, which comes out every Thursday. This Thursday, we're going to have a big story. There's an announcement that's going to happen between this podcast and when that newsletter comes out. I can't cover it in the podcast because of the NDA, the embargo, but I will be able to cover it in the newsletter. Big advantage of having that newsletter later in the week. If you haven't subscribed already, it's free and really does complement the podcast nicely. If you don't have the link, just go to thenimblephotographer.com. The link for the newsletter is up at the top. It's a Substack newsletter. Or you can just search on The Nimble Photographer on Substack. Either way, we've got a big addition this Thursday. Really looking forward to talking about this new announcement. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. They're the ones that support this podcast month in and month out. and are just this wonderful wealth of knowledge, helping us steer this ship in the right direction. I appreciate their input as much as their pledges, and together it's really powerful. And they support each other, and that's what I really like, especially on the Inner Circle site on Derek Story Online, where it is just for Inner Circle members. And these are bright, bright people and great artists. And this is where you can share photos, ask questions, comment on, the different pieces that we put there. It is just a terrific group. If you haven't become a member yet, I highly recommend it, because it will deepen your photography community experience in a way I doubt you've ever experienced before. And a huge thanks to our Inner Circle members. If you want to find out what's going on, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. And I look forward to you joining us in 2023. Finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. We're already chatting about something that's going to be, I'm hoping that we can unveil it at the online printing workshop that's coming up in March. And I'm excited about that workshop. It's sold out. And Red River Paper has been working with an independent developer, and they really created something cool, and I'm looking forward. I can't talk about it yet, but I've been testing it, and I'm super excited about it. And I know a lot of you will be excited about it as well. And it's just another example that, they're just not shipping paper out the door, right? Even though it happens to be my favorite paper on the entire planet. They are working with developers in the printing community. They're working with educators in the printing community. And they really are trying to provide as many tools as possible, not only the physical things like envelopes and paper and ink, but also knowledge and training and creative ideas. And this is why I'm so glad that they're associated with this podcast. If you want to learn more about what they're up to, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. And then also they have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Longest running sponsor of The Digital Story, and we're just thrilled to have them. All right, I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you're inspired to go out and create some of this content I was talking about. Working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, go out there, be creative. Make some beautiful pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.